we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are glad to spend the next half hour with you right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And so we're ready to get going here today. I'm going to be taking you in the Word of God, the Book of Acts, Chapter 3. Book of Acts, Chapter 3. We're talking about truths from God's Word, and I want to start off by saying thank you today to the folks of Chitts Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work needs that are coming in the near future, you might want to give them a call, have them come out, take a look at your job. They can give you an estimate, and you can work out the arrangements with them. But I'm telling you, they have all of the tools. They've got all of the experience, expertise, and networking that, and the hard work ethic that is going to cause you to have a successful project. I saw an article here a few weeks ago that was talking about a person that had put up a help wanted sign, and they were talking about people who didn't want to work versus people who did want to work. And you know, if you're a parent, I pray that you teach your child how to work. It will serve them well. When I was a school teacher in another state, I told my class, it was a small Christian school, and I said, look, if you will develop the heart that God wants you to develop from His Word, and you put into practice the principles from God's Word, I said, there's going to come a time where you are going to be invaluable. You are going to be highly sought after and highly valued by employers. And that ability to work is something that the folks of Jits Concrete have and utilize every day, and they would love to put that hard work ethic to benefit your project. So give them a call, 321-536-5804, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio Program. That number gets you Greg. Tell him that Pastor Bob says hello, and we just recommend them highly. Today we're going to go to Acts Chapter 3. We're going to start walking through a significant miracle that had taken place in the Scriptures. This is after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. It's after the day of Pentecost. And it begins to describe, I mean, there's already been a sermon that was preached, and a multitude, thousands came to salvation. And now Peter and John are going to begin walking in the anointing that God had for them, and how it's going to transform society. So let's look at Acts Chapter 3, verse number 1, and we will read down through verse number 10 and see where we go from there. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, you know, I've told you about this comment that I ran across one time. And the comment was, would Jesus be out ministering to needs in the community, or would he be meeting in a church? And the implication of the person who made the statement was that he would be out meeting needs of the community. Well, I want to bring a little bit of understanding from the Word of God, and that was the Scripture says that Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. In other words, that's where he went every Sabbath day. He honored the house of God. He cleansed the temple of God. He wanted his house to be a house of prayer for all nations. It is true that Jesus did attend the house of worship, and it is also true that he met needs when he was in the house, when he was outside of the house, when he was traveling through a community, when people were coming up from. It was not an either-or proposition. It is a both-and proposition. And so a few months ago, my wife and I, we had to make a family trip, and we stayed at a hotel, and there was a person that was in front of us. They were wearing a church shirt, and it said, the church has left the building. And great thought, because we are supposed to be ministering in our communities, not just inside the four walls of the church. I tell you all of that because Peter and John were on their way to the temple. They were on their way to worship. And while they were there, they encountered a person with a need. And so I want to encourage you to be a blessing and to be looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Sometimes we are going about and we've got so much on our plate. We've got more modern conveniences and more modern tools that allows us to do more than we've ever done. But our minds tend to be so busy that sometimes we miss seeing the opportunities that are right there in front of us. So there they were. They were on their way to the hour of prayer, and when they were getting there, there was it doesn't really say his name here. It says a certain man. You read on later on and you're going to find out that everybody knew who he was. They knew where he was going to be. They knew what he was going to be doing. They knew how long he had been in his condition. It said a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. So I want you to know that if God uses me in such a way that it impacts people's lives during my lifetime, and maybe there's a story or two that lingers on past my lifetime, and it is used to benefit people in the kingdom of God and cause them to grow in their faith, and yet nobody knows my name, I'm okay with that. I really am. I know in journalistic circles that they want to make sure that everybody who writes something gets the proper attribution. Some of my most famous people or most favorite people in the Word of God are people who do extraordinary things, but they don't have a name recognition. They don't ever get identified by name. And I'm okay with that. You know, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet, there's people who believe that there were two different experiences. One of them, we know who it was. The other one, we're not sure what her name was. But Jesus said, hey, wherever the gospel is preached, this is going to be said about her. It's going to be proclaimed about her. So I like to use a lot of stories and illustrations when I'm preaching, because the Word of God is not just for preaching, it is for living. That's a statement I heard back in 1980-something when I was on staff at a church, a evangelist came through and they said, look, the Bible is not just for preaching, it's for living. And so I told a story, and some people were traveling, and all of a sudden they encountered face to face the exact situation that I had described. And so they sent me a message and said, we just laughed out loud because we just saw exactly the same setting that you were describing in one of your messages. This guy had been lame from his mother's womb. He had never had the ability to walk. That means that there was never any muscular development in those legs. That means that there was never any real strength in the bone structure. There wasn't any coordination. There wasn't any nerve connection between the head and the legs and the feet as to how to walk. None of that had ever been developed. This person had never known what it was like to try and walk and then end up falling because he had never had the ability. So the first question that I want to ask you this morning, is it okay with you if God works in your life in such a way that he transforms you to where you are able to do what you've never been able to do before? Too many people live within the prisons of their past experience, not realizing that Jesus wants to set the captives free. So if you allow me to go forth as calves released from the stall, leaping and rejoicing, as it says in Malachi. So, he wants you to have glorious freedom to become everything that God wants you to be. You do not have to be imprisoned by your lack of experience. You do not have to be imprisoned by your past failures. If you will allow God to use those failures to teach you the way to do something, you will find it is a glorious experience. So I know some people that if they have never done something before, they continue to live their life. And when presented the opportunity to do something, they say, no, I can't do that because I've never done it before. Well, everything that I've ever done in my life, at one point in time, I had never done before. But there was something inside, whether it was a person that was coaching me, if it was an encouragement from God. And I pray that whenever you do that, that you will do what my wife did, what I've done as well. And that is this, that you'll say, God, you have placed me in this position. I've never done this position before. I've never had these responsibilities. So God, I'm going to need you to anoint me. I'm going to need you to equip me to do this job for the glory of you. Not for the glory of me. I want you to make me the most successful in this position of anyone who's ever had it. And then go for it. And then watch what God does as he develops you in that. Don't be afraid of the unknown opportunities that God has presented to you. So this person, this man, he had never been able to walk. He was literally carried by his friends everywhere he went. Or friends, family, you know, whoever wanted to help him. They would position him daily by the gate of the temple where everybody who was coming to pray, everybody who was coming to worship, they would walk past him. And most of the time people would look the other way. They would probably close their eyes or look down at the ground or look up at the sky. But they would just see the guy over and over and over again. And there was no social safety net. Okay? Did you know that the Bible says that hunger is one of the things that motivates us to work? Okay. In this day and time, there wasn't a government safety net that was there. These people were completely and totally dependent upon their family and upon the generosity of the people of God. And so they would have a cloak that they would wear showing that they were recognized by society as somebody who wasn't lazy. They were just incapable of doing any work. They would position this man every day at the gate, and his purpose was to ask alms. Alms were not tithes. Alms was something. Jesus said, look, the poor you have with you always, you can help them anytime you want. You don't even have to pray about it. If you feel led, you can help them. If you don't feel led, don't feel compelled. But his responsibility was to ask. That was his only way of making a living. And so I'm not going to get too much into people who can't work versus people who won't work. Those are two different people. Those are two different settings. This is not because a person made a choice that has left them homeless and destitute and addicted. This was a person who had physical consequences, and as a result of that, he was left. He couldn't go out work on a farm. He was just there, and he was asking people, can you help me with whatever you can spare so that I can continue to live and to exist. So this guy is there, and he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he did what he was supposed to do. He asked for an alms. He asked for them to help him financially. Verse number 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Okay, so Peter looked at him. He did not look at him in judgment. He did not look at him with disdain or annoyed. He looked at him intently. He fixed his eyes on him, and he said to that man, we want you to look at us. There are a lot of people that don't mind, you know, examining other people, but they don't want you really examining them too close. Peter and John were there, and they said, they make this statement. It's a well-quoted statement, and it said the man gave them his attention, and he had an expectation that he was about to receive something from them. Now, I want to tell you that a physical problem will never be solved by a financial gift. It may be solved by medical intervention, but it will never be solved by a financial gift. But I will tell you this, a spiritual impartation has the impact to impact a person spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, occupationally. A spiritual impartation, a spiritual gift, has the ability to transform every area of a person's life. And so he gave them his attention, and he expected to receive something from them. And if you'll allow me, Peter says, silver and gold have I none. Or silver and gold I do not have. He basically says, we don't have any money. We don't have any money. If you've ever found yourself in a financial tight spot where you needed funds and you didn't have any, Peter and John said, hey, we know what that's like. But we know a God who is able to provide things that are of greater value than money. Did you know that time is more valuable than money? I remember hearing that from an uncle of mine that worked for a big company, and he was sent on assignment to solve a problem, and he told me he was flying. I said, "It's not that far. Why are you flying when you could drive there?" And he said, "Because my company considers my time more valuable than money. Because they know I'm going to go there, I'm going to solve the problem, I'm going to be on the next problem, solving the next problem." And so I remember seeing, the Bible has a lot of things to say about things that are worth more than money, and I want you to know Jesus is worth more than money. He said, "We don't have any money, but what we do have, we give to you." Okay? So a lot of people look at their life and they say, "What don't I have?" And they live their life focused on the things that are missing instead of focusing on the things that they do have. God asked Moses, "What's that in your hand?" And that staff ended up being a valuable tool that God could use. You've got something in your life that God can use for his glory. And that is beyond any dispute as far as I'm concerned. You've got something that makes you unique and valuable and useful to God. And so they said, "Such as we have, we give you." And then he says this, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, the reason that they could make that declaration was because they knew that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They knew the Great Commission. And so if you go back and look at what Jesus had told them in Matthew chapter 28, it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So they knew that Jesus was right there with them. If you flip over to Mark chapter 16, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will drink. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." What they had was a recollection of the things that Jesus had said, the commission that he had given to them, and an expectation that Jesus would not send them to fail. He would send them to succeed. And so they said, "What we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I will tell you that unfortunately there have been some people who were interested in building people's faith, and they used less than noble means. They had people staged that pretended to be healed. I want you to know, what this world is looking for is the authentic. I make no apologies for believing that Jesus saves. I also make no apologies for believing that Jesus heals. Now, not everybody that I've ever prayed for have I seen healed the way that I was praying for them. But my responsibility is to do what God has called me to do, believing that God is going to reign sovereignly over the situation. And so this guy was transformed immediately. Sometimes sickness is healed gradually. Sometimes it's healed medicinally. Sometimes healing comes through surgical intervention. Sometimes, though, when all else has failed, and, you know, even before all else has failed, you can cry out to God. I encourage you to cry out to God first and say, God, we need a miracle. This man's life has the ability to impact the kingdom of God. Would you raise him up? And this guy began to praise God. He stood up, he began to walk, and he was leaping for joy. That's the way I want to respond when something good has happened to me. And believe me, if you ever see me preach, I mean, I'm sitting here in a chair now, but I am not afraid to become animated when something good is happening at church. When the Spirit of God moves in someone's life, I'm not afraid to celebrate and rejoice, and I don't think that you should be either. We're almost out of time here today. Let me just get through verse number 10 here. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. In other words, it wasn't just hearsay. It was something that everybody saw. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Okay? People know your past. Are you willing to let God intervene in your life supernaturally so that there is transformation, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your physical being, whether it's in your finances, whether it's in the way that you process thought, where it's the way you make your schedule? Are you willing to allow God to transform you in such a manner that everybody who's ever known you will be able to stand in amazement at what has happened to you in the name of Jesus Christ? Okay? Two questions. What had happened if the man had stayed home that day? What had happened? What would have happened if Peter and John didn't decide to go to prayer that day? It's important that you get to the house of God, if at all possible. Who knows? Your miracle may be waiting there for you. One last question. What if the disciples didn't care and they didn't stand in faith and help that guy to receive his miracle? Answer those questions. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.